Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, how are you?
I'm hanging in there just like you guys, I'm sure.
Albert, I saw you your tweet. I brought this up on the air. Of those people in Florida that protesting gyms being closed while they're working out.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
You know, sometimes, I guess it's that old saying, right? Like, better be silent, have people assume that you're dumb, rather than open your mouth and remove all doubt. So that was something else. I've got like a ton of sympathy for people who are, you know, unable to work and everything else. It's just, some of the things you see people protesting over is insane, like the opening of beaches and stuff like that. It's like, I mean, again, like there are certain things that I think are worth protesting or worth being upset about.
Sure.
I think we can go without our beaches and gyms for a few weeks.
Yeah.
We can find a way.
So. Yeah, I'd say so.
Albert, sorry, Bull. Albert, good to hear from you, buddy. How are things going with the NFL in terms of, you know, when we'll see these facilities open? I know Mike Tomlin was talking over the weekend, said he thinks it's fair that they only open at the same time where every state can have the competitive advantage. What are you hearing there?
Well, they've maintained that, you know, and that's sort of been a doctrine that they, you know, they adopted. And really the reason it came to this was in March. If you guys remember, right before everything shut down, there were a lot of teams that were like kind of on their own, taking their scouts off the road. And there were a couple of pro days at the very end. Oregon was definitely one of them, where you saw teams from seven or eight teams there. Like, some teams were trying to like sneak guys in for 30 visits. The Dolphins did that, if you remember. And so there were teams trying to take advantage of the fact that that other teams had sort of taken precautions. And so that was when the league made the decision: we're going to shut it down. We don't want to give anybody a competitive advantage or make it a competitive issue, you know, teams taking care of their own and trying to look out for their people's health. So, you know, really since then, it's been until all facilities can open, no facilities can open. And, you know, it sounds good. Here's the issue, is that we're going to get to the end of this week when they're going to discuss this. And, you know, I think the question becomes, if there are places where facilities can open, does it make sense to keep them shut down because, say, the Giants or the Jets or the Chargers or the Rams or the Patriots or the Bears can't open theirs, right? And that's a difficult question because you don't want to, like, create, again, that competitive advantage that some teams have over others. And I know the NBA ran into this. That said, does it make sense to, you know, force an NFL running back to go get his work in at a Lifetime Fitness down the street because they can't open a facility 1,000 miles away? And so that's kind of the difficult part about it, and I don't know how you get around that. You know, I certainly think the NFL has more leeway than the other leagues because they aren't playing a game for 4 months. You know, but I know basketball, like I said, I know basketball confronted this, and at first they were operating from the same doctrine that the NFL was, that until all facilities can open, no facilities can open. And eventually they wound up going back on that. So it'll be interesting to see if the NFL does the same.
Talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, I know in the schedule release, which I'm glad they did. I know they put in there for week two that everybody has the same bye. What are some of the other things they did with the schedule for to be altered if necessary?
Well, I had some knowledge that they were trying to do, and that they, I think they did do, was, you know, they wanted to make week one like a celebration, right? And for obvious reasons, and I think this, you know, this is any year, but especially this year, they wanted to make the return of football a celebration. And so you see it's reflected in that schedule. We're going to get Brady Breeze. You got the Cowboys going into the Rams. The Rams opening their new stadium. You know, they're, obviously there's the opener in Kansas City on that Thursday night against the Texans. And so, you know, like I think week one was always going to be unaffected. And the idea being that if you need to collapse it down, you can move week one anyway. And so that's going to be the start of the season no matter what. But they did do some things where they're going to be able to, you know, change the calendar if they need to. Like you said, week two would be one where every team has an opponent in week two that they share a bye with. And, you know, the obvious implication there would be that if you need to, you can move all of those games into those bye weeks so you can collapse the schedule from 17 weeks to 16 weeks.
Right.
Then in weeks three and four, if you guys look at it, there are no division games, and every team plays one home game and one away game. Right. And so if you needed to collapse the schedule down again from 16 to 14 weeks, you could also do that. And so there were little things baked into the schedule, but there are other things that went in the other direction altogether, honestly, guys. Like the New York thing, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there are going to be six games at MetLife Stadium in the first 5 weeks of the season, and that seems insane to me.
Yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
You know, that seems to me like something you could very easily avoid. Bull, you're well aware of where that stadium is.
Yes.
I mean, you can ride a bike into Manhattan from there.
That's right.
You know?
Yep.
And so, like, that part just seemed insane to me. Like, and sort of like maybe, and I don't know if it's trying to send a message to partners and to sponsors about how confident they are that they'll be able to have a normal season. You know, but like I think that was something that was notable, and I do think the other thing is reflecting the schedule and that they're, you know, willing to go down to 16 to 14, but there's not an easy way to get down to 12. I think reflects the fact that they would rather move the season than have to cut too many games off of it.
And that's what I was going to get to next, Albert, because that seems to make sense. Football has the smallest, you know, calendar of a season in terms of their actual schedule, right? And especially if they want to get fans, because I don't see, like, maybe in some cities, but I can't imagine in California, New York, Chicago, Detroit, Boston, and some other places that there are going to be fans in the stands in September. I just don't see it.
Right, and you know what's interesting about that? So, and this is, and you guys are going to have to follow me on the math a little bit here, but, you know, when I made a bunch of calls on the idea of fans versus no fans last week and, you know, talked to a couple team presidents and, they basically, like, you know, I got an estimate that, and look, like, the NFL is affected less than other sports by not having fans in the stands because a greater percentage of their revenue is coming from television anyway.
Right.
But it's not insignificant. You know, like, they would lose about $100 million a team in local revenue, which adds up to $3.2 billion, of course, if they played the whole season without fans in the stands. So I asked Ben, would you rather start the season September 1st without fans or November 1st or October 1st with fans? And the answer I got back was that it's not even a question, that they would rather move the season.
Yes.
And if you guys want to follow the math there, all right, if you were to play a season without fans, that'd be $100 million off of each team, right? So that's $48 million off of the salary cap in 2021. Now, they probably wouldn't let that happen to the salary cap, but they would start borrowing from future years to make it to flatten it out. And now you'd be talking about affecting players' finances 2 and 3 years out. And so there's motivation for everybody to play in front of the fans, and not just because it looks good on TV or anything like that. There's very real financial motivation for them to do everything they can to try to get as many games played in front of fans as they possibly can.
Albert, is Goodell going to let Portnoy come watch a game in his basement?
Oh, God.
That's the funniest thing I've seen.
I mean, I know Dave a little bit. Good on Dave for putting up the amount. I mean, we shouldn't like laugh about that part of it. Like
it's great. That's great. $250,000 is great
donation. But yeah, it's pretty hilarious. And you know, Like, what's funny about this whole thing, guys, is, like, Goodell could completely disarm him by just being nice to him, you know?
Right.
And
totally.
He would
totally.
Win over. He would win. I want this to be, like, I think I want what, like, a lot of people want, which is, like, a really awkward, like, really weird. Like, I think we'd all like to see that. But honestly, like, this is an opportunity for Roger and for the league, you know? Like,
yes.
How many young fans does Barstool have?
Tons.
All Roger would have to do is be a nice guy for 3 or 4 hours, right? Like, that's the way
oh,
I
yeah.
see it. And if he's a nice guy to them and he can show a little sense of humor and make fun of himself a little bit, like, the whole thing's dead. So, like, I don't know. Like, I just look at
yeah.
this as, like, an awesome – like, if I were one of, like, Roger's, like, you know, chiefs of staff, or I would be telling him, do it. Like, go do it. And just be nice to the guy, and then the whole thing's over for you.
Yeah, you joke about it a little bit. You have some fun. You're nice to Portnoy. You're nice to those guys. And all of a sudden, this stuff goes away. If I'm Goodell, you know what I do? I would live stream it. And I'd wear the clown shirt with the red nose on Goodell, right? That'd be hilarious.
Oh, and I thought the worst mistake they made, like I obviously live up here. I thought the worst mistake they made was pushing back on that. Like yeah. if I were them, like honestly, if I were Roger, I would have worn the clown shirt onto the field at the opener in whatever
yeah.
it was 17. Like when everybody was holding, they all had the, you know, the shirts and the signs and everything else. Like he could have diffused the thing so freaking fast. You know what I mean? And
yep, yeah.
you know, I just think I either he got bad advice or he's that stiff about this whole thing. I don't know, but like it's just it would have been like really really easy for him to take care of this. And I think like any of us, right? Like could have given him that advice. It's pretty simple stuff.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, last Friday, Larry Warford gets cut by the Saints. Guy's been a Pro Bowler the last 3 years. I said on Friday, I thought, you know, listen, while the Browns are going all out on their offensive line, their one weak spot still right guard. Do you think and they have the most cap space? You think the Browns might be interested? And is he in decline? Even though he's been,
I think they'd be smart too. I mean, like, look, yeah. like he's made those three Pro Bowls the last three times. Last 3 years, is he a Pro Bowl? Maybe he's a Pro Bowl, or maybe he's not. But he's still a good player, a veteran player that you can put in front of your quarterback. And I mean, really, like part of the reason why he's available is circumstantial. The Saints came out of draft week with less than $4 million in cap space, and so they needed to do something to create a little bit of room. They couldn't cut him before the draft because that organization puts a ton of stock in the interior offensive linemen because they have got a shorter quarterback in Drew Brees who needs space and throwing lanes. And so they've always invested in those positions, so they can't be shorthanded there. And so they needed to make sure that they wound up with Cesar Ruiz before letting him go. It wasn't like we need to get rid of this guy come hell or high water. Like, he was going to be their starting guard if they didn't get Ruiz. And so I think it makes sense. And look, like I tweeted something earlier. I don't know if you guys saw it, but if you look at the breakout quarterbacks of the last few years,
yeah.
I mean, what they all have in common is really good offensive line play. I mean, Wentz was playing behind Jason Peters and Lane Johnson and Jason Kelsey, and Mahomes playing behind his first year starting Mitch Morris and Eric Fisher and Mitch Schwartz, you know, and then last year Lamar Jackson, I mean, playing behind, you know, Ronnie Stanley, Marshall Yanda, Orlando Brown. It's pretty sad. It's not like – It's a really logical way to invest in your young quarterback is to give him the best situation in front of him that you possibly can. And they've done, I mean, credit to Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski for prioritizing it this offseason and going and getting Jedrick Wills and Jack Conklin. And this would be a nice way to put it over the top. I'd agree with you on that.
Albert, did you watch any of the UFC over the weekend?
I didn't have a chance to, actually.
Gotcha.
I'm an old man now, so I fall asleep on the couch. I had it on, and I planned on watching it, and I just passed out in front of the couch.
I guess the reason I ask is because I'm curious if other leagues are watching as UFC, NASCAR, and the golf starts to come back, and how much they're going to use some of their guidelines and their data in terms of getting their sports back.
No question about it. You know, and I think it goes beyond the stuff in this country, too. Like, you guys, I'm sure, saw the news, the Premier League. Is coming back June 1st, I think, right? Like, and then the Bundesliga in Germany is coming back this weekend. I think there's no question the NFL, And I assume the other leagues. I mean, I don't know specifically, but I do know at the NFL, like, they're going to be watching everything that happens over there. And obviously, there's going to be some parallels they're going to be able to draw. You know, and I think it's an easy way for fans to kind of keep track of it, too, is, you know, if, you know, say the baseball team in your city starts their season in July and there aren't fans in the stands in August, there probably won't be fans in the stands for the opener in the NFL. You know, if you're starting to see that filter back in, then there's hope, you know? And so, the NFL really, you know, I used the analogy last week, they fell out, you know, they fell out with everybody else out of a 20-story building on this one, and they've landed on a bed of roses. They, you know, it was a juncture of their off season where they could afford, to have this happen. And they, you know, were able to kind of continue with their events, because of where they were in their off season, and now they have the luxury of getting to watch everybody else try to start up before they have to. And so, you know, I think it's a great advantage for them. I think the first complicating factor for the NFL is going to come at the end of July. And it's going to be, what are the restrictions in all of these states where, you know, are you going to be able to have training camp? And I think, you know, this, Dustin, it takes a lot of people to put on a training camp. I think bare bones, and you can dispute this number if you, I think it's probably bare bones, players, coaches, scouts, doctors. Like, if you cut everything down as far as you could, you'd still need at least, I'd say, 150 people there. And so it's going to be interesting to see, like, the rules state by state when we get to the end of July. Are you going to be able to have gatherings of over 100 people in every state that has an NFL team? That's obviously an open question now. And I think that would probably be the first thing they'll have to confront. But they definitely have the advantage of getting to watch everybody else have to go through it first.
I definitely think, you know, these smaller sports are one thing, Albert, but you reference baseball. I mean, to me, baseball is the best indicator for the NFL. If the NBA and NHL come back, it's a short season, maybe in one location. Baseball's going to try to play in their stadiums. It's a big staff like football, especially this year, because these baseball teams are going to have to carry taxi squads, which means they'll probably have 50 or more players per team, so it'll be similar to NFL. They have coaching staffs with older people, and it's a longer season. I think baseball is really the most important thing I think football's looking at.
And you're starting from zero, too, which is another part of it. You know, like basketball and hockey, their guys, when this all shut down, their guys were in game shape. And so as those guys kind of continued their work, they had to get creative like everybody else, but they weren't working from zero where, you know, with baseball and football, both those sports, for different reasons, take some ramping up. You know, and so, you know, I think that there is definitely, like you said, there's a parallel on that side, too, where, you know, baseball is going to have to ramp these guys up, get pitchers ready to throw all that different stuff the same way, you know, and obviously it's different, but like in the same way, like football teams are going to have to get their players ready for contact. There's some similarities there where I think football can definitely take some things from whatever happens with baseball over the next 6 or 7 weeks.
Albert, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.